Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas. And today we're going to kick off a really short series where we try to stay positive about certain dental professionals. What we're trying to do here is, so we've covered some of these concepts that we're going to go over in previous episodes, but this time we're going to do this pretty specific to certain groups like contractors or CPAs or brokers, and we're going to do our best, despite our nature as lawyers, we're going to do our best to stay positive. So we're not going to talk about any specific individual companies or people. We're just going to keep this kind of generic. But this is geared towards those of you who are sitting at home, have pushed pause on life, and you're using this time to think about your next move. So we're going to do a few episodes where we're going to advocate, I guess, for lack of a better word, for using dental-specific professionals. And today, the first one are dental-specific contractors. I wanted to start with contractors for a couple of reasons. I am currently dealing with a variety of contractor issues right now, so it's top of my mind. But also, I don't know that we talk that much about dental contractors. And I think the only time we talk about it, whether it's podcasts or on forums online or just wherever, I think usually the conversation tends to be negative. Nobody shows up to an online forum and says, hey, just thought everybody should know that my build is going amazing. So our goal here today is to talk a little bit about contractors and specifically dental builders. Maybe it is important to distinguish what makes a builder dental specific or not. I'm not a construction expert, so my apologies for not digging in too deep to this. But generally speaking, when we say someone is a dental contractor, we just mean that they spend most of their efforts building dental offices. I am sure that they spend time building other offices, and there's nothing stopping a contractor who has never built a dental office before. They can still build a dental office. We have helped literally hundreds of offices who have done a build out. We have seen a company who is building out their very first dental office. We've seen clients have a great experience with them, and we've also seen clients have not a great experience with dental specific builders. So we're not saying that they have to be a dental specific builder, but what we are going to talk about is why you would go with a dental-specific builder. What are the advantages of using someone who spends most of their time doing dental builds? So these are going to be not really in a chronological order, but roughly what I think the more compelling arguments. Now, in my opinion, one of the important things about a build, so when you sign a lease, you're on the clock and you cannot lose time. And so the areas where I think it's important to have a dental builder are areas where using someone who's familiar with the process saves you time. Whether they're a good builder or not, if you're wasting weeks not getting your project built, that's free rent possibly that you're going to miss out on. Now, the areas where this comes into play is, first of all, there is this design build stage. There's a handoff from the people who design your office over to the people who are going to build your office. Now, sometimes they're the same ones, and some dental contractors have that design feature in-house. And so that saves some time. But even if they don't, or even if they do and you're not using them for that, there's still value in having someone who understands how to handle that handoff and to look for or anticipate problems that are going to come down the road. One of the places where we see some stall is that design build handoff, where the contractor and the architect aren't really in sync and it's wasting time. The other aspect is permitting, and maybe even more than permitting, it's the inspection period. Depending on where you live and the community you live in, certain aspects, everybody's going to have a permit, and sometimes you're going to have multiple permits depending on the municipal rules, and you are going to have one or or quite a lot, like in Houston, Texas, there's like 40 inspections that have to happen. And those inspections, sometimes you're holding up the whole project because things aren't moving along. You don't have the inspector out to get it done. It helps to have someone who is intimately familiar with how this thing gets built out so that they can be flexible enough. So while they're waiting on that plumbing inspection, the whole thing's not shut down. They have someone else doing something else. And just because they're a dental builder doesn't mean that other people can't know that, can't anticipate those things. It's just that if you are a dental builder, you're probably sleepwalking through that stuff because it's just so common. You have to deal with it every time that you start to develop a system. And part of that system is the timing. As an extension of that point, one of the other, I would say this is maybe the underappreciated aspect of the build out is where dental contractors understand and work with the supply chain a little bit better. And this really comes into play towards the end of the build. It's not hard to find drywall, but it can be a little tricky to start working with the people who are going to install cabinetry and how it has to fit and in the air systems. And as you get to the end of a dental office build out, it gets a little bit more sophisticated, and having the right people with the right equipment scheduled can be difficult. And if it's the first time or it's pretty rare that contractor has to manage that difficulty, that it's just simply going to take longer. Whereas a lot of the dental builders, they already have relationships. They not only have an understanding of how this works, they have these vendors on speed dial. They know, they can find out pretty instantly when this shipment's coming through or when this installer is on his way. Understanding the supply chain as the project moves on is more critical than I think a lot of people realize. And bear in mind, what happens often is we have lost time. It's gotten chewed up in the permitting process or weather or whatever. A lot of times towards the end of the build, we're more concerned about the timing than perhaps earlier in the build. So each day becomes even more important. Now, I think one of the other valuable aspects of using the dental builders is they kind of know each other's pricing. One way or another, they figure out, because they see it's usually a competitive bid process. People are going out and getting two or three or sometimes even more bids. And sometimes there's some post-bid negotiation where they're, you know, comparing notes and stuff. So they become pretty familiar with each other's pricing. And I'd say for the most part, this is a good thing for you because it allows them to understand where they sit in terms of this competitive process. Usually makes the pricing a little bit more competitive in your favor. And to the extent that there are going to continue to be differences in price, they're going to help you understand why. When like, hey, this builder charges more for this or uses this material or this much material and we don't. And that's going to go for whether you're trying to save money or you're trying to do a premium build. They can help you understand that because they do understand their competition, not just the pricing, but how they price. And so one of the benefits to using a dental contractor is there's a little bit more transparency in the pricing. That's probably more theoretical than in practice, but that is the theory. One other benefit that dental contractors either live or die by, it's that they operate in a pretty small circle. If you are going to exist in this dental world, word travels fast. Dentists talk to each other. And if you continue to do bad, people are going to share that with their friends. And it's going to be harder and harder to stay in the dental world. And we have seen a number of contractors try to move in and move out. Or honestly, there's been a couple contractors that have had to gradually move out of dentistry because they keep getting consistent negative reviews. And the sales process becomes harder and harder. Fewer people are willing to take a bet on them. So there is this pressure to keep people happy so that they don't badmouth them online or wherever. Now, finally, this is probably the trickiest one. And interestingly, it's going to sound a little funny, but the one that I think is probably the least important. using a dental contractor means that their work product is more easily verifiable. I want to caution about this, and certainly with some sensitivity to clients of ours who have had negative experiences with contractors. Think about this in terms of patients and being able to evaluate a dentist. There are things that a patient probably can never fully evaluate a dentist on. There are things that patients' opinion really matters on, like, was this dentist friendly? Did I feel a lot of pain? Did I like the staff? You know, there are things they're very competent to comment on, but there are other things that they really don't know the technical aspects of dentistry. Their ability to rate you is pretty basic, but yet they do it. And similarly, in contracting, when we talk to our friends, nobody, or I should say very few dentists, are experts when it comes to building out a dental office. And so if you're talking to your friends, you want to sift through the feedback you're getting, because some things they just don't know, and other things they really do. The two questions that I think are most important when you're asking for feedback, so you know somebody who has used a particular company, you want to know, did they stay on time and did they stay on budget? And if they didn't, you need to know why, because there are reasonable reasons people get off track from timing and from the budget. And those are also two things where people can be manipulated. So it's important to ask those two questions, because those are very easily verifiable from your dental colleagues. But just bear in mind, I say this all the time, being a contractor is probably one of the hardest dental support professionals that I think there are, because there's just so many moving parts. And so you want to be careful when you're evaluating. And honestly, I've had clients who have had really, in their minds, have really negative experiences with a particular contractor. And because I see it, I can see that contractor, at least in that situation, didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes it's been our client's fault, or at least our client's misunderstanding, but that doesn't stop them from, you know, going to Dental Town or going on Facebook and making complaints. And I'm not saying that their feelings aren't valid, but yeah, sometimes there's been misunderstandings. There's not a lot we can do to correct those understandings. They feel the way they feel. But I think it's important when you are evaluating a contractor, just remember that the person you're getting feedback from may have had a negative experience that is absolutely valid and maybe less valid. So it's tough. That's why it's valuable to get multiple people's feedback and to understand what that feedback is based on. But as we're going to repeat probably every single time we do this little positive series, what you're trying to do is you're simply trying to put the odds in your favor. The odds are that a dental contractor, one that you can verify some reviews and things like that, the odds are that they are going to be better priced and stick to a schedule a little bit better. Doesn't mean they will. There are contractors out there that, you know, we see them operate and we're like, man, kind of wish they wouldn't. If you hear one bad story, you're like, maybe there's another side. When everyone seems to have some kind of negative experience with that builder, then it's probably the builder. And there are those that exist. And I think at some point in time, they'll have to move out of dentistry. And you'll want to be careful about that. Just ask as many people as you can and be smart about the reviews you're getting. But odds are that if they have been in dentistry for a while, and you are finding people with positive things to say about them, then they're at least worth giving a shot. If you don't go with a dental contractor, you want to be understanding of where that may cause you problems, but that will at least help you compare. If you're looking at a contractor who doesn't do dentistry and one that does, now you know where the sore spots may be. And so, again, we're advocating that people at least consider using a dental builder, just because it seems like more often than not, the expectations are met. When we are dealing negatively with contractors, it is more often than not that contractor is not a dental builder. And if you think about how many, I mean, this is just, I didn't do this research. I'd say 80% of our clients are using a dental contractor for their build. And I don't know, 80% of the problems that we help clients through who have had a negative experience with a builder, those are probably non-dental builders. And so that's kind of the context here for why I'm advocating for dental builders. It just seems that the few times that our clients use a non-dental builder, just seems that more bad things are likely to happen. Doesn't mean that they always that bad things always happen. It just means that we're talking about odds and stats here. And just, yeah, generally speaking, without regard to any specific builders, it seems to be better to go with a dental builder. If you have any other questions about this, man, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email. It's joe@jawlawpodcast.com or my work email, which is jmcgregor@mcgregorfirm.com. This COVID thing is going to do some fun things to our economy. And I know a lot of people have kind of pushed the pause button on building out a new office and can't blame them at all. A lot of wait and seeing going on. I actually plan to break this out into its own episode, but just because it fits in with this, you know, bear in mind, if you're going to have an office, you're probably going to have that office 20 years, 30 years. And this economic recession, this is not the only major economic event you're going to have to weather. You're going to have multiple setbacks economically. And so if you're looking for an office and your timeline is, oh, I only want to have this for 5 years, you're right. Hit the pause button. Wait and see where rental rates are going to go and all those things and whatever. And maybe now's not the time to jump into this game. But if your time frame is 30 years and this is the place where you think you want to practice for the next 30 years and the place where you want to raise your family and be a member of that community, then yes, hit the pause button. Understand where the market's going, because there's not a promise that rates are going to go down. Probably not going to go up, but also depending on what community you're in, there's a chance rates just basically stay the same. And so hit the pause button, be thoughtful about what's going on. But remember, this is a long-term play here. And if it's right today and it's going to be right in 30 years, then consider moving forward. Maybe at a different pace, but still consider moving forward. And that's all we've got today. We'll see you next time.
I get carried away by the look, by the light in your eyes, before I even realize the ride I'm on. And baby, I'm long gone. I get carried away, nothing matters but being with you, like a feather flying.